All right.
Enough of the food, Mordechai. Enough of the food. Enough of the food. So last year, actually, I think you were here. I don't know. We had my chaver Noah Mishkov was here for his father's yahrzeit. We went out to eat. That was back when we didn't think the world was about to overtake us. We didn't think that going out to eat was going to be such a chiddush. We didn't know that seeing people would be such a chiddush. And slowly but surely, everything unraveled. His father's yahrzeit yesterday, his 11th yahrzeit, Yitzchak Meir ben Gershon, who I grew up in Jamaica State, so knew him very well. So we're just going to talk about the role that he had in my life and many, many others. To start off by saying that if any of you ever been to Youngstown, Jamaica State, it's not such a it's not a metropolis. I remember when my wife and I for our honeymoon went to Panama. And the shul in Panama, you have to walk up about 300 steps to get into the shul. And that shul is literally a metropolis. It could probably fit about 50,000 people, throughout the shul. The shul is enormous. So Jamaica State wasn't like that. But on his funeral, which took place in the shul, there were probably about close to 1,000 people. And there wasn't like a square inch available in the shul and outside. And it doesn't happen. So I'm just going to say a few messages that I took from Yitzchak Meir ben Gershon and the importance he had in my life. So it actually would be 11 years ago this Shabbos, Parshas Mishpatim. I was working as a counselor for a kid from Jamaica State's Bar Mitzvah. And Motzei Shabbos at the Malav Malka, because as we discussed last year, it's not just a cute thing that Leva Torah does and we have Malav Malka. It's a halacha, it's a din. We have Malav Malka, so at the Malav Malka for the Bar Mitzvah, I was talking to Meir, and he was telling me what he thought was a chiddush. He's like, I just found this. He was in his 50s at the time. He told me, I just found out that there's some people who don't actually want to live in Israel. Maybe the 40s or whatever it was. He's like, that's such a huge chiddush to me. What does that mean? People don't want to live in Israel? Okay, people don't live in Israel, whatever the case might be. But to actually have people who don't want to live in Israel is such a, it was such a big chiddush, and it was very, very important to me, because at that time, I was already 4 or 5 years removed from my time in Leva Torah, and they didn't have an army program. Not that I would have done it anyway, but they didn't have an army program at the time. And you go back to America and you forget that when you're in Leva Torah, you can't go 3 feet without someone saying, "Oh, you want to live in Israel? Oh, you're gonna make Aliyah. When are you making Aliyah?" You forget about that. When you get back to YU, all of a sudden, that's not done every 4 seconds, and whatever community you're from or you're visiting, it's not done every few seconds. And that was was important for me, because I was beginning to date at that time, and just in general, not that if you talk about with the girl that you're going to date about making Aliyah, that's going to end up happening either. It could very well not happen, but it was important to me at the time, because it reinstilled that belief in my head about the importance of coming back to our land. And that's never been more, especially talking to Ryan Hartstein, but just the last year. And you guys should realize it's like a big schuss that you're able, as much as it stinks, but it's a big schuss that you're able to be here, because my father-in-law's had about 9 flights in the last year. He's actually supposed to come last year at the end of March, and I think he's had like 8, 9 different times he's thought he's coming in the last year, and he still has not come. And so much so, he has a flight from Kippur and Sukkot that he's not sure if he's coming. Just putting that into perspective, it's not even Purim yet. He's not coming in 7 months from now. In September, just puts things in, the fact that, okay, things might be terrible, but definitely as a citizen and my family, we're able to be here, and it's not, I'm making Aliyah, but you might not be able to come. We're able to be here, and as much as the struggles might be, the fact that people can't be in Eretz Yisrael, and we're able to be here, that shouldn't be taken lightly. And an important thing also, for him, unfortunately, he only got here in the kever. He didn't get to live here. Permanently, he only has to be buried here. But understanding that idea that even if you're not going to necessarily be here, and for a lot of you, if you go back to America, I'm not going to, and I don't know if you want to live here, but assuming that you do want to live here, it's not a foregone conclusion that you're going to be here. Even if you do the Leva Chayal, it's not a foregone conclusion you're going to be here. But to no matter what you're doing in life, to keep that in you, that mahus, that no matter what, I want to be someone who wants to live in Israel, and maybe it's not my avoda, maybe it's not just for now. It's not in the cards, but it's always something that comes back to me and that I'm trying to strive for. That was the first message. The second thing is community. You know, if you just go, I don't know if you know anyone from Jamaica State, but if you ask anyone from Jamaica State, they'll say community. Yes, Josh Cass. You guys remember Josh Cass? He was here last year, and we're not going back so long. We're going back, you know, like a year. Okay, remember Josh Cass? If you ask him, what is Jamaica State? And you know, a few things will come. One of the things will come is Mayor Mishkoff. He was just everything. One story that sticks out to my head was still like, you know, whenever you see like community, it's sort of like Shalom. Like imagine like anything going on in the yeshiva without like Shalom, like everything that behind the scene goes on, but he gets paid for it. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's all right, you can come in. We're always happy to have Sadiqim walk in, Mincha Yomi. Like everyone who's listening, make sure to daven Mincha today. Make sure to daven Mincha. Oren Rimon, letting the Olam know you gotta daven Mincha. Right? God damn Mincha. So one of these times, I went on a Friday morning. I don't know. We'll just make up time. We'll say 9:30 in the morning. I show up in shul and I sit. I learn. I'm there for a few hours. He's doing stuff around the shul, and then I don't know. It's 1:30 or so. I go home and he's still there for the last like 3-4 hours on a Friday. People have to work for a living, like whatever. And he's doing everything that needs to be done. That needs to be done for the shul. And it's an incredible, incredible. Achrayus to realize what community is, to realize that, you know, especially again, that's why I say like Shalom and a lot of people here, like, yeah, things wouldn't go on in the yeshiva. Like if Mary decided tomorrow, like, you know, I'm not coming anymore, like, I don't know, they wouldn't figure out tomorrow, like, and they'd be in like a real hole. Like, what are you gonna do? But at the end of the day, as much as a lot of people make things go on in the yeshiva, they get paid. So, you know, it's very nice and we should be appreciative, we should always say thank you. I don't know if you guys have opportunities to go to the Cheder Ochel, but always going out of your way to say thank you. That doesn't mean you have to say thank you. I'm just saying, but in general, saying thank you is an important thing. But when people get paid, like, they're also getting paid. Like, let's not forget that. But imagine, like, you know, you have your family, you have your job, you have everything else in the world, and you put in 20, 30, 40 hours a week. Like, he used to always come here for Yom Kippur and Sukkot. And like 3 minutes before Kol Nidre was texting all the goodbye. Like, make sure this person gets Hagba for the second Torah on Yom Kippur. Like, you know, to not get paid to that, but always have that attention for detail and to make sure that everything is being done. You know, just show that in general with volunteers. Like, you see, you know, all kinds of organizations. You might see, like, people who work, you know, thousands of people who volunteer for Yachad, for Hask, for Amanachai, you know, whatever it might be, who aren't getting paid. Like, that's like real Mesiras Nefesh. You know, we're all busy with whatever else is going on in our lives. So to take on something else that doesn't help put food on the table, really instilled that, instilled an amazing, amazing Mussar in me. And I see it from his boys, from his three sons, that they're always like, they take on, like, you know, and that's one of the, it's a Shem in the right time. All of you will be able to get married, have healthy children, and you'll see through your children, like, the nachas is, like, they really are living in your legacy, like things that, like, you really stand for as being important to them, and seeing that the legacy moving on, that his boys are always, you know, boys are grown adults who are doing important and major things in the communities where they're living is very, very important. You know, again, as we've discussed, I don't really talk so much about, like, Shalom bias type stuff. Probably one, because you guys are young. Two, I'm probably not the person that should be doing it. Like, I need to be going to the shiurim. But, you know, in of itself, what happens in general is when people are very, very busy or you have, like, hobby. Like, you know, I'm not such a... I like to walk a lot so I can actually see that sometimes it does overtake me. But yeah, these people are like, they have to always be in the gym, like these exercise gurus. And, you know, it takes over. Like, you know, you're just not... Like, you're, okay, you work, and then, like, you get home, like, I can't do family time, like, I have to go, like, work out for 4 hours. And, like, people who overtake, overtake that, and that could happen. And for Mayor Mishkoff, one of the things that always, like, he always went to Israel for Yom Kippur and Sukkot. So, like, in stone, like, he would book his flight, like, after Simchas Torah, like, that week after, he booked for the next year. Not every year, but he often would do that. Like, he wasn't like, you know, we don't procrastinate, you know, and, like, you know, sometimes you'll get this, and you're not necessarily in a position, but when you'll be in a position to give tzedakah, and, you know, it just gets more and more with, you know, how anyone and everybody is raising money. So, you know, sometimes you'll get something, and you know you're going to give. And, like, for whatever reason, there's certain people in the world who, they just like to delay. Just do it. Like, you're going to, if you're not going to do it, you're not going to do it. But if you're going to do it, just do it now. Like, you don't have to wait a month. You don't have to wait a week. Like, just do it now. You got the thing now. You don't have to have this person that need to keep hat. And I'm not talking from, like, personally, because this is what I do professionally. But just, like, in general, like, if you're going to, like, if now with all these, like, you know, makeshift minyanim, so you're trying to make a minyan, like, you know you're going to come. Like, just say I'm coming. Like, you don't have to wait until, you know, 7 minutes before the minyan starting to be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to come. Like, you didn't know like, it's 8 hours? Like, we had to sweat it out. Like, you know, just do it. So he did the same thing with the... always getting the fight for Yom Kippur and Sukkot. But 1 year, he was home for Yom Kippur and Sukkot. And they asked him, like, why are you home? And basically, one of his kids, you know, when you, I'm sure that, I'm sure, I know, but, you know, there should be shalom. But sometimes, unfortunately, you know, you'll get married and there's like a conflict. Oh, do I, who do I go to? And, you know, it causes like a big uproar. Who am I coming to? And, sometimes practically, you know, just taking a whole family to Israel just becomes more difficult or just practically doesn't work out. And for the sake of his family, he wanted to make sure that he was going to have his one of his kids be able to be over for Sukkot. So he was willing to sacrifice a tremendous, tremendous sacrifice to not go to Israel for Yom Kippur and Sukkot, which was something he really, really looked forward to. But when I asked him, like, was it really hard? He's like, I'm not going to lie, like, you know, I'm not going to compare Jamaica States to Israel for Sukkot. You know, it's not okay. Maybe this year not. But as you may remember from last year. Sukkot here is like hopping and it's beautiful and it's like really the, you know, the nicest place in the world to be. And Jamaica States is also very nice. And I've had like very nice, meals there in the sukkah. But, you know, when it's like 37 degrees and windy and you have leaves coming into your soup and it's raining every other minute and it's freezing. Because it's not quite as geschmack as like when you're sleeping in like 70 degree perfect weather and so there's a little bit of a test, you know, as we could say now is you know, probably if you were in New York right now, if you're wearing flip flops, you know, it'd be a little cold. It's a little bit of a temperature discrepancy. But he was telling me that it wasn't a hard decision because when it comes to family, like everything in life is your family. Everything in life is for our family, and we have to really drop what we have to do to be able to be there for our family. So to be able to, if I'm going to be there and not have my family there, like what am I really accomplishing? And understanding the chinuch behind it, which goes back to his point of why, one of the points of why maybe he never made aliyah was it just wasn't right for, you wait too long, and then it's just not necessarily right for your children and understanding that. And that also instilled in me like how important it was to get here for me and my family before my oldest, you know, got too old and then like, you know, it becomes harder. My children are integrated into Israeli society. But understanding, like, everything is family. And even, sometimes, it could all be in different cases. Like, you guys could have, like, parents who are, like, 38 or, like, 65. So, you know, if you get the, there could be probably a big difference. Like, I just imagine because my brother and sister-in-law are, like, in the early 40s and my parents are in their 70s. So, like, I can understand the difference. But, and you really can fall into that. But understanding, like, how grateful and how much your parents do everything for you. And you know, from your point of view, realizing, like, having that appreciation. And, again, you have to – everything within reason. But always understanding how important how important family is. And even though some families can drive people insane, some people have very good relationships with their family, but even when you have good relationships, they can drive you insane. But understanding that everything that we do, Benji's looking like, no, my family can never drive me insane. Okay, fine. He doesn't understand. But other people here, maybe they can relate to their family driving them insane. But understanding that their that family is always there and it always has to be very, very, very much in our minds. You know, as I've said before, like I'm not always so motivated by like gedolim because, you know, they're gedolim. Like that's their, you know, I was learning with, I had exposure and I've said I don't know any Shanaf guys. I learned with Herschel Gans. Everyone here know Herschel Gans? Even if it could be a chiddush, you wouldn't know. So I had my first exposure to Shanaf. It was, it was amazing. It was amazing. And I was telling her, Herschel that, it's not like, you don't have to be a rabbi. Like everyone needs to do their avodah. So like, I was telling him basically, like, take Receive and Rav Mo. If Receive became Rav Mo, like imagine like you were just in spot and Receive like got up on a table, was going crazy and was doing like chassid. You can't even imagine it. Is there any? If I told you, Rafi, that you'll know Shas by heart in a year, is that easier for you to conceptualize than Receive getting up and dancing around in spot and acting like Rav Mo? Could you ever imagine that? It's not imaginable. And imagine Rav Mo the entire day. You know, he took off all the Hasidic garb, and it wouldn't be imaginable. He was receiving. Like, he was sitting learning Gemara Halacha all day, nothing Hasidic. Like, you wouldn't be able to. Like, it's so far fetched. It's so far fetched. And I said that's so kind of in life is we all have our tafkid. Like, we kind of have to do our tafkid. But I'm not always so moved by like Gedol. I'm like, yeah, they have to do their tafkid. So. Yeah, if Reb Chaim Kanievsky was an investment banker, that'd be really bad for the world. It's like very good that he's a gadol ador. But I'm so inspired by like Baal Batim who are growing, and by you know the guy who's a hedge fund manager who gives the daf yomi shir and doesn't have to only be the rabbi of the shul. And you know when the youngsters get up and they speak in their shul, I think it's great. And I think you know Mayer wasn't you know I'm not gonna like. The guy, he did know for his stam babas, he didn't know, but no one was confusing him with Reb Chaim Kanievsky, but he was always wanted more. He was always trying to get more, and I always felt like he kind of had like the Shana Aleph, in him. Like, even if you probably could know between Shana Aleph and Shana Bet, it's like, in Shana Bet, you start to become more realistic. And nah, I can't like, if I told Rafi last year, like, you know, the guy, the Shana Aleph guy who told me that he's going to do brachos in a week. So that's doing about 9-10 daf a day. I probably can tell you that. That doesn't sound so realistic. But last year, like, yeah, of course. Why can't I? I'm not doing that because I don't want to. Because I want to go play intramurals. But not because I can't. Like, now you're sort of like more like in the frame. Like, no, that's not actually possible. It's not realistic. Like, I'm not Rashad. Like, I'm not doing that. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But having that Shana Aleph in you, that I always want more. I'm always looking. For you guys, the fact that you guys come during break to a shmooze, like that to me, you know, it says a lot. It says that, you know, you could be doing anything. You could be on your phone. You could be Netflixing. You can be, looking at, you know, my new thing I like to do is I like to watch old Super Bowls when I'm in the bathroom. Like that's very exciting for me. So it could be that, you know, there wasn't really a Super Bowl last week. So it could be that, like, you actually want to watch highlights of good games. Like, you know, whatever, like, you could be doing more. So the fact that you're here is amazing, and it was like we're never being satisfied with what we have. Like, we really are. We're always looking for more. Like, we're always looking for like a bigger chel. You know, we talked about it last week. Like, to know, I'm always looking to whatever it might be. Like, I'm not complacent with, oh, this is what I do. This is what I do. I'm looking to do. I'm looking to do more. You know, I don't remember saying this, but I believe it. But like Robert Goodman telling me that apparently I said last year. You know, last year that it was a little more normal. I gave a. I did a breakfast with Shana Bet once a month, special food. Then maybe we did it too much, and I guess this year it just wasn't practical to do it. But I told him that you work your way up. Like, you know, let's say your goal is you want to wake up. We'll just be realistic. You know, we don't have no here, so we'll say seven. Let's say you want to get to seven, eight out of seven. We'll say seven's your goal. I want to wake up at seven. Doesn't sound so crazy. And right now I wake up at eight. So if you try tomorrow to wake up from 8 to 7, and that's what you're going to do the rest of your life, the likelihood is you're not going to succeed. But that's making a really, really major jump. But if, let's say, every week you're like, I'm going to shave off 2 minutes, and another 2 minutes, and another 2 minutes, and another 2 minutes. And I never know if Rav Avi Palak from Hask was a Rav Avi Palak from Michalah. I never know if they're the same person. But a Rabbi Avi Palak who used to work in Michalah, he actually said, the way that he got to waking up at like 4:30 or 5 in the morning was he did a minute or two every day for like a week, and then 2 years later he was waking up at 5. He shaved off a little bit. That's like the mile of growth. That we're not trying to do things radically, because that's, you know, it's a beautiful thing to have the Shana Aleph mentality, but for most of us, like, it's not gonna work. It's not gonna work. Like, we're going to become, Mordechai didn't become a masmid last year because one day, you know, he was every day, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit, you know, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, and we start to make really, really incredible, incredible growth. The Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Yud Ches, it quotes Rav Papa, as I mentioned this before, that Rav Papa's in the Hadron. He keeps mentioning Rav Papa, Rav Papa, Rav Papa. And the reason Rav Papa was in there is that Rav Papa, you know, we're striving to be him. He was wealthy, and he quoted a lot in Shas. So obviously, you know, he had a lot going for him. But he used to sponsor the siyums for the Bachers. They would make a siyum, And, you know, it, I think Ramon's into that also. You make a siyum, like, you know, buy your own stuff, whatever. So it would be like, you know, you're making your siyum, and he would sponsor the kugel and the challah and the rugluch and, you know, the popcorn, the pretzel, you know, whatever you might have. So Meir very much believed he would give his kids each a monetary reward when they would make a siyum, because he really believed in that importance of being mechazik our Torah and to constantly strengthen. You know, I tried to once get in on that, but he told me I have to be a blood relative. What are you going to do? And it sounded like a good deal. You know, if anyone's listening here and wants to pay for me to make siyums, you know, I'll take them up on that offer. But it's understanding the value of Torah, and it's understanding more what it means to be what a Yisachar Zvulun relationship even means, like what it means to be Zvulun, that I'm supporting Yisachar. Like there's a reason why, you know, in the brachos in Vayechi, Zvulun comes first, because the power of supporting Lima Torah is really, really, it's really important. So it's a very special it's a very special milah to be able to do that, to be making sure that, like, I want you to learn Torah. I want you to be able to grow in Torah, and something that you know, hopefully you guys are going to continue to learn, but to realize that, you know, when you get to that point, like, to me, like, yeah, when my kids are at ages where they could be learning on even a somewhat serious level, and to pay them to make siyums and to make it nice, like, you know, it's the biggest deal. I remember when I had to graduate 12th grade, I had to learn a mesechta to graduate. I got kicked out of like 3 shiurim by December, and you know, I was basically I told to Jake Shire last year, maybe Khan Shire also. I was basically like one Friday night, and you know, guess what you make a stage. I went down to, you know, find the art scroll, like a mesechta of like 70 daf or so. I come up with Nida. I'm reading the introduction. I had no idea what it's talking about. This guy in college, like, let me show you something else. So he takes me down. We were Maseches Avodah Zarah, and then August time before my Shanav, I finally finished it, and I made the siyum, and it was like glamorous. I don't know if you know from Dougie's. Benji used to eat meat. Amazing with places like Dougie's that there's such a thing as a vegetarian. What a chiddush. But we basically had like, I don't know, like $1,000 worth of like Dougie's sponsored that night. Like, we had like 12 trays of poppers and wings. Like, I was basically, for the next 2 weeks before I left the yeshiva, I was having Dougie's breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I'm not exaggerating. Like, it was, and we ate so much that day, and there was so much food left over. But my parents were showing, like, it was such a big, they were so proud, it was such a big deal that I finished. Like, they wanted to be in a very dignified manner, and to, Birtz Hashem, to like realize that, I hope for my children, for you guys, for your kids also, like to make them know that it's a really, really big deal, that finishing Torah, that, like, that's a big deal. You know, as much as I, you know, I said, like, you know, finishing Shabbos is a bigger deal than finishing Tainus, but it depends on the person. It could be that whatever anyone finishes, it's a big deal, and to really, really take pride. And just we'll conclude with this last idea from Meir, which always also stuck with me. Jamaica States, for you know, a lot of shuls, for maybe intentionally or not, like, let's say they want to have a mincha marv, so you want to basically have mincha finish like right before shkia, so you go straight into marv, assuming you're in a daven to shkia mincha marv. Jamaica States, for whatever reason, would start mincha like 20 minutes before shkia, and we didn't have a 20 minute mincha. You'd have like a 10 minute mincha, 11 minute mincha, and maybe 15 minutes before, and then there always would be like some speech between mincha marv. But, you know, when you have like 10 minutes, you know, it's not like, oh, let me get up there, let me tell you like a quick dvar halacha. You know, have malav malka, now let's say the kaddish, I'm going to start marv. Like, you had to really speak for a long time. So, okay. Sometimes you have people that would speak, and sometimes the people who were going to speak weren't there. I remember one time, like, it was like a few minutes. I remember very few times having no speech, but it wasn't the worst thing either. You'd learn. You were schmooze and you dive in Meir. It wasn't the worst thing. I don't think anyone was like angry about it. And one time Meir was there and there was no speech. He got very upset and he said, Mark, you gotta go up and speak. I'm like, hey, like, no, you gotta go up. Like, this is people's Lima Torah. Like, this is not like it's not a small thing, and we have to make sure everybody gets in. And you think about it, let's say there were 25 people in the room in 8 minutes. That's 200 minutes. That's 3 hours and 20 minutes of Torah amongst the room. That's not like, you know, that's a football game. That's like a big deal. That's not a small amount of time, and understanding, and that goes to the whole point that everything about him was growth oriented. It was like, and he wasn't like this like crazy, you know, it was that normal young Israel type of person. Whatever you're imagining, that's exactly what he was. But understanding this idea of we're looking to grow, we're looking for opportunities for growth, and And that's and that gets into, we'll conclude with this, like the idea of Chappin a Rhine is we're going to, you're going to be leaving soon, and you're going to notice that, you know, I believe this to be true, that, you know, you could basically come to Yeshiva for the year. You could ascend, it's none of you, but you could do nothing. And despite doing nothing, you're going to learn exponentially longer than a serious person is going to learn like the rest of their life, because even doing nothing, you're here for 2-3 hours a day, maybe more. Like, and that's like, you know, let's say you're sleeping like, you know, another like 15 hours. Like, you know, most people, like, you know, you can't, it'd be very hard to stay in Yeshiva a whole year of either not getting kicked out or just not leaving. Like, you literally are in bed the whole year. But even doing very little, like, you're still doing a lot. But you're going to leave Yeshiva, and, you know, it's more, you know, there'll be distraction, and there'll be no one that, like, cares. There's not going to be, you know, not going to be these reminders, not caring, but like, there won't be these reminders, oh, you got to, let's do this. And taking that with you, like, that chap in the Rhine, like, you know, 5 minutes before Mincha Maariv, like, what can I do for 5 minutes before Mincha Maariv? What can I do for 5 minutes before Shacharis? What can I do for 5 minutes after Shacharis? And, you know, you're all at a point in your life where, maybe the army is a little different, that I don't know. But if you'll be in college next year, you're all at a point in your life where you're still, your time is your own time. So, you know, if you're saying, oh, I have no time, I'm pressed, I got to get to this, I got to get to that. So I can tell you, for those of you that are in YU, like, just go to an earlier minion or find a different schedule. But you definitely have time. And looking for those opportunities where there's a little opportunity, looking for that on how I can grow. And then you look back in 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Wow. Look what I've become because of those little things that we take. But we're not gonna sit and be like, okay, I'm doing this. I'm doing the bare minimum. Okay, let me say instead, I'm doing the bare minimum plus. Like, whatever it is that I'm able to chop, and you'll see. There's a lot there to be chop. You know, I thought I really mastered the craft. Like, you know, I've always thought, like, you know, one of the issues with YU Torah is things are pretty long. So, like, now I put, and these are longer, but now I post, like, a lot of these, like, 2 minute things on there. But I didn't realize, I'm not such a Fal Chachin. I didn't come up with a Chiddush. There's a lot of people that are posting 2 minute things on there because they realize nobody has an attention span. No one wants to listen to a long thing. And that's yourself. That's your market, you know, the two minute Torahs. But, like, you know, you can find on there, you can be walking from class to class, and you can notice that you have 5 minutes. And even I have a friend who he works on Sundays as an accountant, and he told me last week he actually had on speed and a half, he was able to listen from, like, when he got out of Penn Station until he got to his office. Now, this guy's a big Talmid Chacham. I don't know why he's listening to me, but it's quite humbling. It's quite humbling that he was, but the point is, like, look what he's able to do. Like, it's so easy. Like, oh, that's fine. Okay, I'll do nothing, or even anything, it doesn't have to be Torah. Like, I'm going to send a voice note to a friend I haven't spoken to in a while. I'm going to call my parents. Like, you know, whatever it might be, I'm going to sign up to do some chesed. I'm going to say a parak of Tehillim for the, you know, the thousands of people that are sick, and, you know, the tons and tons of messages that I get daily about this person and that person who's going through SARS, or my friend who I know who's going through a hard time, or for this person to be Matsuyach, or this older person I know that's single or having trouble having children, you know, whatever it might be. But, like, you know, I just said a lot of things. So you take any of those things, and they could all be different in your lives, but they'll all be the same. They're all the same Yisod. And apply that, and I'm going to take, you know, I have 2 minutes, so instead of my 2 minute walk, I'm going to think about somebody who's struggling and trying to help them. And through that, when we look at ourselves, and then, you know, you come back Erev Rosh Hashanah, because it all comes back to Erev Rosh Hashanah, because that's the time of the year where the introspection's got to be at its, Yeah? I have a Ruta in a couple minutes. All right. It'll all come back to that introspection of when I look back and I'll be like, look at everything that I did. Look how much I accomplished. Look how different I am, because I was maximizing my time. I was never satisfied. I was always looking for more. Shkoyach.